those who have are fighting against Castro, they should be allowed to come, like people from all over the world that are fighting their governments, you know?
It was about time, you know, that's enough is enough, it's time.
They should be allowed to stay just by making it here because they're coming from a communist country and they're looking for freedom.
If they're afraid of the government over there, why a year later make some money and go back to Cuba and spend the money over there?
And if they risk their life leaving, then definitely they should be able to be free somewhere else.
Not just to come here and spend one year, one day, and then go back to Cuba with money and enjoy themselves.
Here's a story. For decades, it was a Cold War weapon dressed up as an immigration policy, and suddenly it is no more. Cubans coming to the U.S. will no longer be granted automatic residency under new rules announced yesterday by the outgoing Obama administration. Cubans will now have to stand in line at the border like people from every other nation in the world. To tell us what it means for Cuba to join the huddled masses yearning to breathe free, Tim Padgett, America's correspondent for WLRN in Miami, joins us. Tim, how special have Cubans been under the old rules?
Well, this was a policy that was set up by President Bill Clinton back in 1995, and it essentially said, as the wet foot, dry foot moniker indicates, that if you made it to dry land in the United States, you could stay. If you were intercepted at sea, you got returned to Cuba. And that was a special immigration privilege that no other group of migrants in the world anywhere enjoyed.
And it's essentially, you land here, you get documents, and fast track to citizenship.
Exactly, to residency and then citizenship, exactly. And again, a privilege that no other migrant group in the world enjoyed.
Do people in South Florida view that as a warm affection for the Cuban people or a tactic to destabilize Castro?
Well, I think they thought that it was a way to sort of drain Cuba of people who wanted to escape the regime, and that in its sense would then destabilize that very communist regime. What happened, however, was really two things. It created an incentive, at least in the eyes of critics of the policy, it created an incentive to move Cubans to take these very dangerous raft journeys across the Florida Straits, or in more recent years, to sort of be trafficked through South America and Central America up through Mexico to the U.S. border so they could get in, you know, more readily on dry land. What it also did was create a very sort of glaring image of unfairness, especially in recent years when we've seen Central Americans trying to escape horrific gang violence, for example, in their countries, or Haitians who are suffering even worse poverty in their country than Cubans do in theirs. For Cubans to just sort of be able to breeze by these other immigrant groups, it really created an international image of unfairness. And I think that was one of the other things that sort of undermined the viability of this rule.
Well, what you're alluding to, Tim, has actually cast the Cuban Americans in a light compared to others from Western Hemisphere coming to the United States in a way that will linger. I mean, this idea of unfairness, this idea of Cubans as superior or having some sort of advantage, it's affected the social interactions in the United States and particularly in Florida, and that's not going to go away.
No, I mean, I one of the most vivid examples to me was about a year or so ago, you had this airlift of Cuban migrants who were sort of stranded in Costa Rica, and a lot of Central American countries who were getting inundated with Cuban immigrants coming through, they had gotten a little tired of it, and so they said the only way that Cubans could get up to the Mexican border is if the United States would airlift them. Well, they got airlifted into El Salvador, and that is a country that is probably, that has the worst homicide rate and gang violence in the hemisphere, in the world, actually, right now. And for Cubans to just sort of be airlifted into El Salvador and then ushered right up to the United States, that really left a bad taste in the mouth, not just of people in El Salvador, but across the hemisphere.
What has changed in Cuba as far as this policy is concerned in terms of individuals who might want to go back to Cuba?
Well, I think one of the sticking points, one of the reasons it took so long for the Obama administration to get to this point is that they needed an assurance. They needed to craft an agreement with Cuba that would assure that the Cubans would accept these Cuban migrants once they were turned away from the United States. There is this window now, a four-year window, in which Cubans can be returned to Cuba, and the Cuban government will accept them, re-accept them as citizens of Cuba. And I think the Obama administration is also assuming that once these residents go back, they won't be either arrested or otherwise politically harassed by the Cuban government, which had been the case in the past. And I think they were able to get, although we're still waiting to see the details, an assurance from Cuba that there would be no sort of persecution of these people once they're returned.
Whatever the details, I mean, we really should underscore this. This is a huge milestone in history from the 20th century entering the 21st century.
Oh, yes, I agree. You've had this privilege that Cubans have enjoyed. No other country, no other group of migrants has enjoyed. And I think by putting Cubans into the same category, the same treatment of migrants from any other country, I do think that it goes a long way, not just toward normalizing relations with Cuba, but normalizing our relations with the rest of Latin America, which has always resented, I think, this special rule that we've given to Cuban migrants, particularly in countries where, for example, as I was saying, in Central America, where they're escaping horrific violence. And I think this will go a long way toward improving our ties with the rest of the hemisphere, not just Cuba.
Tim Padgett is America's correspondent for WLRN in South Florida. Thank you so much, Tim.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.